At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Nah, not those lions. Three lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen?
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
Now, we want to move on because we've gone back to the situation around Wembley during the match on Sunday night. And I'm delighted to say broadcaster and football reporter Michelle Owen is with us here. Michelle, you were covering the Euros for ITV and you've got a piece in the Telegraph today which outlines some fairly scary things that you saw. Can you talk to us a little bit about your experience? What did you see?
Yeah, I think when I've talked to people about it since, a few people have said, oh, what did you expect? But didn't expect anything like this. So we were doing some stuff around the periphery of the ground, not on Wembley Way. We were deliberately avoiding that because we know it was getting pretty lively. Even in the morning, it was getting lively. So we were on our way to the Club Wembley entrance and just waiting to do a few of the sort of VIPs and football legends going in. And the steward sort of stopped everyone. It went silent, put his hands up. And I thought, why is he so irate? Like, what's he so worried about? And everyone just stopped moving. And he just heard, like, all this crashing and banging. And then probably, like, 5 seconds later, just people sprinting in every direction. You're like, well, what's going on? You're thinking the worst at that point. Is it, has someone got a gun or is it like a terrorist attack? Because you've seen things like that before, like on the news and the TV. And I couldn't compute what it could be. So we ran behind like a wall by the entrance. And then there's probably 100, 150 people just swarming towards us. They smashed down like the smaller gates by us and they ran up the stairs to the upper concourse. And they were just basically breaking into Wembley. And the stewards, you know, they're kids and they stood there and they don't know what to do. So that was the first thing we saw. We filmed a little bit of it. And then after that, it was sort of wave after wave of this for about an hour. And it turns out in the end, they did lock down Wembley. They weren't letting people in. And then the crowds outside were sort of so packed in and getting out of control, they had to open up Wembley again. To be fair, some of the stewards are sort of, I guess, forming like a human cordon, like linking arms so people couldn't get through them. But you know, they didn't want to be there, quite clearly. The police didn't appear for ages. Finally, some riot police came down the stairs to sort of, I think, form a fence where the fence had been knocked down. If you've seen the pictures, there was sort of like a 6-foot fence, but they just knocked it over. Anyway, we get inside. We were told not to go inside for ages. We were told to stay put because it was too dangerous to go around to our entrance. Finally got inside. And the checks weren't great, to be honest with you. Like, I had my media pass and things, and I found my seat. So, you know, it's a game of a lifetime. You sit there and you think, right, try and enjoy this a little bit now. But we'd seen some stuff, people covered in blood, kids getting hurt, people getting knocked over. But you think, come on, we're in now. Surely they haven't got in. They had got in, because after about 10, 15 minutes, every minute there was just people trying to squeeze into our row, trying to sit down. It was kicking off between people because people were in there without tickets. And there's people next to who paid, you know, 800 quid for a ticket. It was crazy. In the end, when it got towards the end of extra time and penalties, I just went up into the commentary box with some of my colleagues because I didn't feel safe where I was sat. Fights breaking out, English fans attacking English fans, Italian fans getting beaten up. I mean, I've been covering football for 10 years and I've never seen anything like it. We went out to Rome and the first part of my tournament, I covered Wales. And I know the Welsh fans couldn't really get out to many games, but didn't see anything like this. It was just a disgrace. And, you know, I can't believe what we saw. And speaking to other people that were there, this is the worst game they've ever been to.
So, Michelle, the problems that happened outside continued inside even while the match was ongoing. Most of the stuff that we've seen, the videos, we've seen the fairly horrific videos of the, I think it's one of the disabled entrances being stormed and then some fans deciding that they're going to push back the people and fights breaking out there. That was definitely pre-game, but from what you're saying, even while the game was ongoing, there was issues.
Yeah, so in the block we were in, there's sort of like a media area and observer seats where we were right by the commentary boxes. And then just below us, a family came up in tears. And my colleague said, look, you can't see it. You haven't got a ticket. This has been happening all game. They're like, we have got tickets, but there's so many people in our area. A massive fight's just broken out between English fans on English fans. And we can't sit there with our kids. And, you know, there's kids in tears. People can't even watch the game because of what's going on. And if you look at the grand context of, I think there were 67,000 people in there, it was probably pockets of hundreds. But for those people, that game was absolutely ruined. And some of the stuff they saw is just frightening. I've heard of accounts of people walking out. And I do remember sitting there, and this guy comes and sits in front of me. And he says, oh, is anyone sitting here? And because of social distancing, there was a seat between us. And the guy in front of me says, no, you can sit there. I said, what are you doing? He hasn't got a ticket. And then someone else comes and does it next to us and yeah, uses some pretty bad expletives saying to leave him alone. And he's the sort of guy you wouldn't mess with when I'm 5'5" and a woman on my own, away from my colleagues. But they've got these big backpacks. They haven't been scanned. They haven't been checked. And at that point, you're thinking, well, what's in there? You don't know. We're all checked. We're all scanned. And supposedly everyone's COVID checked. I think that was farcical. This is the biggest game that England have hosted in years, and it all just went so, so wrong. It's such a shame. Yeah.
So, sorry, Michelle, just because I'm not overly familiar with Wembley, how do they get in with their bags without being scanned? Because you would have assumed that after they break down the barriers that there is another couple of checks at least before somebody in a backpack gets into the stadium.
Yeah, so when I've been as a fan, it's a bit different as media, but you still get your bag scanned. You still have to go through two or three checkpoints as media. But when I've been as a fan before, you usually get your bag scanned once. So what they would have done is where those turnstiles are, the bag checkpoint is by the turnstile, so you sort of go through both. You take your bag off, security scan it, and you go through the buzzer, and then you go through the turnstile. But they were coming in such big waves, they were just knocking everyone down in front of them. So it was just brute force, really. Or they'd tailgate someone with a ticket. They just tailgate on the turnstile behind them. We saw that happening. But it was just sheer sort of power and force. If they had a backpack on, that wasn't going to be checked, was it, if they were just running through? It's just, speaking about it out loud, it just seems so crazy that it even happens. You know, before the game, I was saying to my husband, I was like, if we can find some tickets online, do you want to come with Zach, who is 20 months old, our little boy? I will never take him to an England game of that magnitude until he's old enough to handle himself. And even then, I'd be worried. And my husband saw it sort of all unfolding on TV, and he was, like, worried about my safety. So you sat there in the final, and I'm half English and half Welsh, and naturally, I really wanted England to win. But I remember sitting there about 60, 70 minutes thinking, gosh, I don't know, like, if I should go home or not. You know, that's really, you're thinking, there's so many unchecked people in here. And if it had been full capacity, which thankfully it wasn't, I just dread to think what the consequences could have been. I've heard from friends that were behind the goal, the England end, there's a massive crush. And from about 7:30 onwards, they just couldn't even get out to get to the toilet. It was that busy, or to get a drink. And that would have been very scary. I think I was a bit more fortunate where I was. But there's stories like that all over the grounds. It's just, yeah, horrible.
It doesn't bode well for a World Cup bid, does it?
Yeah, this is what you've got to be thinking, because the real genuine fans like myself would love nothing better than a World Cup in the UK. But I don't know. I mean, I think Mick Ryan thinking of coming in on that bid as well. I'm not quite sure of the ins and outs of it, but if anyone's thinking of teaming up with England for that bid, are you questioning it now? I don't know. I wouldn't like to speak too much about it, because for real fans, it would be a dream to have a World Cup in this country. Is something in my lifetime we've never seen. But behaviour like that, and it is the minority, but the minority are so aggressive and so loud, it gets to the point where, particularly as a woman, you don't feel comfortable at a football match. When we left, my cameraman, who's probably 6'5", he literally just shielded me to get to the car. It wasn't too bad coming out, but we left straight away. Got in the car and got out really quickly, but people were like thumping on my car and, yeah, I was just locking the door, you know. This is not the society we expect to live in. And this is even without, talking about what's happened to the players and the racist abuse. It's just, there's the stuff online which is abhorrent, and now there's the stuff in person which is terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty grim all round. Michelle, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. It's no fun to speak about, but it's kind of important that people get a sense of what it was actually like to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from this England team because I think they've done brilliantly. And the irony is they stand for the opposite. And Gareth Southgate, in the letter he wrote at the start of the tournament, you know, we know everyone around the world has had a really tough time, and for everyone taking part, it was a bit of a relief and a release, we thought. So I think England, as a team, stand for everything that we should all stand for. I thought they were fantastic.
Michelle, good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
It's Michelle Owen there, a football broadcaster, who was covering the game for ITV and was at Wembley on Sunday.